Today, we'll look at the Vittara Sutta from the Anguttara Nikaya Book of Fourth, Sutta 162. Friends, the text that we're going to read, there's some repetition of certain verses, and in these verses, the translator has put it in ellipsis, so just take note of that. Bhikkhus, there are these four modes of practice. What for? Practice that is painful with sluggish direct knowledge. Practice that is painful with quick direct knowledge. Practice that is pleasant with sluggish direct knowledge. And practice that is pleased with quick direct knowledge. And what, Bhikkhus, is the practice that is painful with sluggish direct knowledge? Here, someone is by nature strongly prone to lust and often experiences pain and dejection born of lust. By nature, he is strongly prone to hatred and often experiences pain and dejection born of hatred. By nature, he is strongly prone to delusion and often experience pain and dejection born of delusion. These five faculties arise in him feebly. The faculty of faith, the faculty of energy, the faculty of mindfulness, the faculty of concentration, and the faculty of wisdom. Because these five faculties are feeble in him, he sluggishly attends the immediacy condition of the destruction of the taints. This is called practice that is painful and sluggish with direct knowledge. And what is practice that is painful with quick direct knowledge? Here, someone is by nature strongly prone to lust, hatred, delusion, and often experiences pain and dejection born of delusion. These five faculties arise in him prominently, the faculty of faith, the faculty of wisdom. Because these five faculties are prominent in him, he quickly attains the immediacy condition of the destruction of the taints. This is called practice that is painful with quick direct knowledge. And what is practice that is pleasant with sluggish direct knowledge? Here, someone by nature is not strongly prone to lust and does not often experience pain and dejection born of lust. By nature, he is not strongly prone to hatred and does not often experience pain and dejection born of hatred. By nature, he is not strongly prone to delusion and does not often experience pain and dejection born of delusion. These five faculties arise in him feebly, the faculty of faith, the faculty of wisdom. But because these five faculties are feeble in him, he sluggishly attains the immediacy condition of the destruction of the taints. This is called practice that is pleasant with sluggish direct knowledge. And what is practice that is pleasant with quick direct knowledge? Here, someone by nature is not strongly prone to lust, hatred, delusion, and often does not experience pain and dejection born of delusion. These five faculties arise in him prominently, the faculty of faith, the faculty of wisdom. Because these five faculties are prominent in him, he quickly attains the immediacy condition of the destruction of the taints. This is called practice that is pleasant with quick direct knowledge. These, bhikkhus, are the four modes of practice. Once again, this is the Vittara Sutta from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Fourth, Sutta 162, translated by Bhikkhu Bodhi. And Dharma friends, once again, the five faculties which rise in a person feebly, which if you have just joined midway and you have found them in ellipsis, are the faculty of faith, the faculty of energy, the faculty of mindfulness, the faculty of concentration, and the faculty of wisdom. And with this, we invite Bhante Ratanasara to share with us what this sutta is all about. Bhante, please.
Why do some people wake up quickly from the sleep of ignorance, while others take longer time to wake up from the sleep of ignorance? How come some people have a very smooth journey to enlightenment, while others have a very difficult one? Vittara Sutta answers these two questions. This sutta centers around three unwholesome roots and five spiritual faculties. To understand the sutta better, I would like to give a simile here. Suppose there is a tree which is deeply rooted on the ground. The roots of this tree are very strong. If we were to uproot the tree, it will not be a very easy task. We need to struggle to do that. It will take longer time, perhaps. These roots of the tree are similar to greed, hatred, and delusion. When someone has stronger roots of defilements, it will be difficult and a painful process with a lot of ups and downs to uproot these roots. On the other hand, let's assume a tree with weaker roots. The roots are not deeply rooted into the ground. And if we were to uproot such a tree, probably we can do it with much ease, with less difficulty. Similarly, when greed, hatred, and delusions are not so strong, for such a person, to uproot them will be relatively easier than someone who has a stronger defilements. On the other hand, whether a tree has deeply rooted roots or roots which are not deeply rooted, regardless of that matter, we need to have a set of tools in order to uproot the tree. These set of tools are similar to five spiritual faculties. So if someone has sharp, stronger tools, then the work of uprooting the tree will be quick, because that person has the right set of tools which are very sharp and strong. On the other hand, if that person has only a weaker and not sharp type of tools, the job will be taken more time. So the task will not be easier. Now, when we look at these two aspects, we can easily understand the four modes of practice explained in this sutta. One group of people, they have stronger defilements. Greed, hatred, and delusion are very strong. Because of that, they will experience stress, tension, agony, misery, and many other sufferings because of their strong defilements. And these defilements are deeply rooted. In order to uproot them, they need a set of tools. These are the faith, mindfulness, energy, concentration, wisdom. But these set of tools are also very weak. In such a case, what will happen for these people who are with the strong defilements and weaker spiritual faculties, they will have a very difficult journey and also will take longer time for awakening. There can be another case where a human being has these strong defilements. Nevertheless, that person has also developed these five spiritual faculties. So even though it is a painful and stressful journey, a process, but since that person has this set of tools, he can easily uproot the defilements. So these are the people who has a difficult journey but quickly attain enlightenment. Third group of people, their defilements are not so strong. Because of that, they have much comfort. They do not experience stress, tension, agony, miseries, and many other sufferings in life because they have less stronger defilements. However, they also do not have the right set of tools. And their tools are not strong and not well sharpened. So for these people, even though they have a pleasant journey, they will take longer time to uproot the defilements and awaken to the supreme enlightenment. Then there is the fourth group of people. These are the ideal ones and excellent ones, most fortunate ones. These human beings have less stronger defilements. Their greed, hatred, and delusion are not so strong. Because of that, they have a comfort, easy way of practice and journey. Furthermore, their five spiritual faculties are very, very strong. So they will very quickly uproot the defilement. So these are the four groups of people. The most important aspect of this sutta is the five spiritual faculties. The set of tools that we all need to attain enlightenment. Noble Eightfold Path is specifically designed to uproot greed, hatred, and delusion. But in order to follow the Noble Eightfold Path, we also need to have these five spiritual faculties. On the other hand, when we practice the Noble Eightfold Path, it will help us to sharpen and develop these five spiritual faculties. So developing the Noble Eightfold Path will help us to sharpen our five spiritual faculties. And on the other hand, five spiritual faculty and their development will help us to follow the Noble Eightfold Path. So they are helping each other in that sense. And they function together to uproot greed, hatred, and delusion. So we need to understand these five spiritual faculties, and I'm going to give a very brief explanation here, and then let's see how we can develop them. The first of the faculty is faith, saddha. The faith here is not the blind faith, but rather it is conviction. When you understand the Dhamma, you will have the true faith, true saddha. True faith comes with Dhamma realization. Your faith that the Buddha is fully enlightened and his Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, leads to awakening, and there are enlightened people who followed the Noble Eightfold Path and awakened to the Four Noble Truths. When you understand the Dhamma, then you will have great confidence in Triple Gems, the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. This confidence, this faith, this conviction, what we label as saddha, will anchor you to the practice. Without saddha, the other spiritual faculties will not come into fulfillment. So saddha is recognized as a seed. Without saddha, there's no way for you to cultivate all the other spiritual faculties. Saddha is also here, will inspire you. When you think of the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, when you think of his sublime teachings, and when you think of the noble community of venerable ones who followed the path, and you will get a sense of joy, a kind of devotion, respect towards the Triple Gems. This devotion, this respect, this joy will give you inspiration to follow the path. This joy will give you the energy to follow the path. So when you have saddha in Triple Gems, you will have a lot of energy, the second spiritual faculty, virya, energy. The term virya has been translated as energy, diligent practice, effort, persistence. All these terms suggest that we need to follow the path. We need to practice it. It is not enough to have faith. With faith, we must practice the Noble Eightfold Path. In order to follow the Noble Eightfold Path, we need to have a lot of vigor, a lot of energy, a lot of effort. So if you look at the Noble Eightfold Path, that has been specifically designed to develop our mind. In one way, it will uproot greed, hatred, and delusion. On the other hand, it will help us to cultivate and bring into fulfillment all the excellent mental qualities of wholesome status. So here, our struggle, our effort has four functions. When we understand in our mind we have negative defilements, then here we must try to uproot them, reduce them, to clear the mind with these defilements. This is one task. On the other hand, we also must take care of the mind, not to let it be infected with the new defilements. So we should take care of the mind and guard it against the new defilements arising in our mind. Thirdly, we also understand in our mind we have excellent qualities: mindfulness, concentration, compassion, loving kindness, generosity, and many other virtues and many other skills. So what we must do here, we must try our best to take care of those excellent qualities and let them grow further. On the other hand, there are many other excellent qualities that we do not have at the moment, but we can be initiative to introduce them to our mind, to start the skillful practices. So these four efforts will bring our spiritual journey forward. Without energy, nothing can be moved. So energy is a spiritual faculty here. The third one is mindfulness. Here, mindfulness is a moment-to-moment awareness of what we are experiencing at that particular moment. Mindfulness is always a present moment practice. At any given moment, to maintain clear awareness of our experiences is what it means by the term mindfulness. In Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha suggests that we maintain clear awareness and mindfulness related to body-mind mechanism. So here, four aspects are suggested. First aspect is our own body. We need to understand what is happening within the body and mind. So body is always changing, it's undergoing various ups and downs. And to understand its nature, we need to be mindful. Apart from the bodily sensations and its functions, we also have mental aspect of it, which is feelings. So bodily feelings, mental feelings, bodily functions. Then apart from that, we also have our thinking, mental formations. We need to be mindful and clearly aware of what is happening within the body-mind mechanism. and understand how these defilements come into existence and how they disappear. What are the trigger points? What is the structure of these defilements? So understanding that aspect is Dhammanupassana, which is the fourth aspect of the mindfulness practice. So here, contemplating our own body, feelings, and thoughts, as well as the Dhamma, these four together give us the right mindfulness to understand what is happening within, what is happening within our own body and mind, to understand the five aggregates of clinging as they are. So the mindfulness is to be developed. And there are many ways that we can develop it. The fourth spiritual faculty is concentration, samadhi. The concentration, the function of this faculty is to hold the mind together and give the necessary attention for the mindfulness to do the work. So mindfulness and concentration work in hand. The function of the concentration is to focus well on a particular object or particular subject, and then the mindfulness will see what exactly is there, how things exactly happening. If we were to give a simile for this, we can use those scientific those instruments that scientists use in laboratories. We can use, what is it called, those machines that use to examine those microorganisms over there. This particular machine, what is it called, the microscopic instrument, will focus the organism. At the same time, we can zoom in, zoom out, and see how things are working. In a similar way, concentration will hold the mind, its concentration and its focus, and then with that, the mindfulness will see what is there already. Concentration is to be developed through meditation techniques. And the Buddhist suttas explain that mind can be developed to different levels of concentration, which are known as jhana or samadhi. The fifth faculty is wisdom. Wisdom here does not mean simply the knowledge. Or it has nothing specifically to do mundane type of theoretical understanding or knowledge, but rather it is a deep penetrative vision, direct seeing. Specifically, the wisdom is here, is the ability to see the five aggregates of clinging under the light of its specific nature. Impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and soullessness. When you develop the mind through meditation techniques and achieving higher degree of mindfulness and concentration, you will have the ability to see the five aggregates of clinging, five aggregates of clinging in a constant flux, in a rising and passing away, and as a flow of energies, thereby you will discover the fundamental nature of all our existence, which are the three marks of existence. That will open our experience to a different world, different understanding, that will totally transform how we experience this world. And that will bring a deeper level of transformation. So these five spiritual faculties, they work together. They all are important. So these five spiritual faculties are the tools that we use to uproot greed, hatred, and delusion. Now, each and every human being has these five faculties, but in ordinary states, they are not developed. We have seeds. Every one of us here, and whoever listened to this talk, we all have these five faculties. However, it is a matter of development what is important here. So developing these five spiritual faculties is very essential and primary if we were to be awakened. So there are many ways that we can do it. The direct and immediate and most powerful way to do this is the meditation techniques. So when you dedicate for meditation practices, you are developing faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. So meditation is not optional. As a Buddhist practitioner, each and every one of us must meditate. Practicing meditation, even for 10 minutes, is better than nothing. And we need to start from somewhere. However, while it remains that meditation is the direct and the most powerful way to develop these spiritual faculties, there are other ways also we can develop these faculties. In fact, all the other Buddhist practices, one way or another, help us to develop these five spiritual faculties. Let's take some examples. Suppose every Sunday, we have this Dhamma sharing. It can be a Dhamma talk or it can be a Sutta discussion. Now, if you do not have faith, you will not attend to this. You will attend to this Dhamma talk or Sutta sharing only if you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Those who do not have faith will dwindle away. So you need to have faith. And when you attend it, you will develop faith again and again. You will deepen your faith. On the other hand, you are also developing energy. So you need to plan for it. Every Sunday, 2 o'clock, 2 to 4, we must keep time away. So keep away from your mobile phones, keep away from social gatherings. You seclude yourself to a room and you make sure that you have your Wi-Fi, or you make sure that you come to this place whatsoever. All these are work, need your energy, effort. If you do not make this have effort, it will not happen. So you are putting effort. And if you need to understand whatever the Dhamma talk or sutta which is going on, then you need to maintain mindfulness. You need to listen with mindfulness. If you do not listen with mindfulness, then this will not be fruitful. So when you listen with mindfulness, you are developing this faculty as well. And you need to have concentration. If you have a scattered mind which is running here and there, and then of course it will not be so fruitful. So when you try to focus and try to pay close attention to understand, you are developing concentration in a different way. And with all these process, your mind will achieve a new degree of understanding, deepen your wisdom, understanding. This is development of the wisdom faculty. So if you were to take a simple action like this, listening to a Dhamma talk, reading a Dhamma book, reading a sutta, all these also will be helpful for us to develop 5 spiritual faculties. Even a devotional practice that you dedicate, and if you do it with mindfulness, concentration, and with faith in the triple gems, and you are definitely cultivating these 5 spiritual faculties. However, as the sutta pointed out, we cannot expect everyone to be awakened sooner or quicker than the others. There will be definitely some people who will be quick than the others. There will be some people who will take longer journey than the others. There will be some people who will have a smoother journey than the others. There will be some people who will have a very difficult journey than the others. But what is the important point here? Whether we have a difficult journey or a smoother journey, whether we will be awakened quickly or sluggishly, in order to be awakened, we need to develop these 5 spiritual faculties. Okay, I think this is enough as a talk, and we can open this for Q&A.